As we get ready for the 4th of July on Monday, we are reminded of how the colonists rose up, fought against, and kicked tyranny to the curb, as stated in the Declaration of Independence. And that's part of America's glorious past, which has become subjected to a growing threat in recent years when it comes to your right to free speech. My next guest with her new book presents a history lesson of how these attacks have been crafted and perpetrated. And if you start off by believing that what she writes about doesn't and won't affect you, by the time you finish your book, I believe you'll believe something quite different. The title is The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech. She's a member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, has written the Potomac Watch column, Kimberly Strassel. Thanks for being here, Kimberly.
It's great to be here.
And it's WSJ.com for the Wall Street Journal, Kimberly's work, and the other great journalists there. In as an overview of the intimidation game, if someone in the here and now, with the same focus, topic, direction of content, and wanting to do it anonymously, try to write, publish, and promote the Federalist Papers today, what would be some of the risks that they would be facing?
Well, if they managed to do it anonymously, then they might be okay. But if they came out and wrote such a, at the time, of course, this was a very provocative piece of work, if they did that or expressed their views on any sort of conservative thought these days, they could potentially have a liberal prosecutor come after them and subject them to pre-dawn raids. This is what we saw happen up in Wisconsin. They could end up getting harassed by the IRS. This is what we saw happen to some 300 Tea Party organizations representing tens of thousands of Americans when they were essentially shut down by the IRS in both the 2010 and 2012 midterms. You could have an average citizen who had their cars keyed or their businesses flash mob protested or threatening messages left on their voicemails or their emails, which is what we saw happen out to Californians who supported the Prop 8 traditional marriage ballot initiative. So these are some of the things that are described in my book, The Intimidation Game, and that we see happening now under the auspices of liberal activists and also bureaucracies and prosecutors that are motivated by ideology.
And as you write about in The Intimidation Game, this is the reaction by the left to the Citizens United decision, which, again, when you look at the core of the foundation of Citizens United, it's basically the, strange as it might sound, a court ruling to allow the practice of the First Amendment.
Yes, what happened in that case is the Supreme Court looked around and said, you folks have piled speech law upon speech law. This no longer comports with the First Amendment. We are wiping away a lot of those rules and allowing many organizations that have been exiled to the politics back into the process. Now, the left, when they saw this, they had come to depend very much on these campaign finance laws to just completely bar their opponents from taking part in elections. They liked that. When the ruling came out, they decided, okay, if we can't bar them anymore, instead we're going to do the next best thing. We will intimidate them, harass them, threaten them, and send the message that they will pay a political price if they continue to engage. And that's what the intimidation game is about. The book is describing the many instances in which you now see this happening at the highest levels.
And it's coming through the highest levels, but it comes through a variety of outlets, through the political side, through the IRS, and through the courts. And speaking of the IRS, it's disconcerting and humorous at the same time how Lois Lerner with the IRS tried to be almost a godfather-like figure, where trying to keep her hands clean while everyone, all of her street henchmen, did the dirty work.
Yeah, it's astonishing. This book is the real story of what happened at the IRS, because if you listen to the White House, even some of the mainstream media these days, they will continue to peddle this fiction that this was just the fault of a couple of line agents in Cincinnati who didn't understand the law. That is utter nonsense. We have all the emails, all the investigations. I spent years reporting this book. You know, this was done at the inspiration of elected Democrats who sent letters to the IRS demanding that they do something about these nonprofit groups that were coming to in the election season. You had the press out on the stump saying, ooh, we need to be doing something about these groups. You know, they might be illegal. They could be funded by foreign entities. It was a dog whistle to the IRS. And we know from all the emails, all the records and documents, that Lois Lerner and her staff were the ones that ran it out of Washington. This was done for ideological and partisan reasons. And yet, you know, Lois Lerner came in. She took the fifth. She managed to retire with full benefits, and there has been no accountability in that whatsoever.
Kimberly Strassel, who is a member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, has also written the Potomac Watch column, WSJ.com, her new book, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. With the matter of levels of how the attack goes, certainly people with who have been following over the last few years how national conservative groups, Tea Party related, have been certainly under the gun. It's not just at the higher levels. You write about everyday people who thought they were doing the right thing by stepping forward, speaking up when they see wrongs, and form an organization and become fallen into the crosshairs of the IRS. When that happens, especially for the quote-unquote little people, what type of load is placed upon them for them just to stay out of courts, basically?
Yeah, I wanted to tell this book, The Intimidation Game, through the eyes of people that had this happen to them, so that the readers could understand what it was like to have your life turned into hell by a government agency. And I profiled one of these Tea Party groups called the San Fernando Valley Patriots. And I have been out, I've met these people, I spent time interviewing with them. They came together mostly because they wanted to be engaged in civic society. They spent most of their time in the first years that they operated going to things like Memorial Day parades, holding up signs for fallen soldiers, arranging food banks and flash food donations for local charities, helping out, generally being involved. And at one point, they wanted to actually run a little ad campaign in their community saying, go vote. It didn't say go vote a certain way. It wasn't in any way pushing. It was just a very patriotic sign that said, go vote. And to do that, they needed to collect some money. And to do that, they needed nonprofit status through the IRS. So they applied, and they got swept up in this terrible targeting thing. They got endless questionnaires sent to them asking for every last aspect of their information, things that spent hours and days for them to have to fill out and turn in, and interrogations into their private lives, their family members, into the, you know, at one point the IRS demanded to know the social security numbers of anyone who'd ever donated to the group, which is, by the way, they do not have a legal right to ask for. And at some point, this group, it was just too much. It withdrew its application. So, and this was the goal of those at the IRS, to force people out of the process.
Seems to be the foundation of this intimidation game. Try to get as much disclosure as possible to make it A, burdensome, and B, make the offenders public so that they can be attacked through the variety of ways, both through writing and phone calls, emails, social media pages. That seems to be the modus operandi.
Yeah, and we have another story in the book, which I think is more terrifying because it does bring it home to the average citizen as well. This is a story of Californians who gave money in support of Prop 8. That was a ballot initiative in California supporting traditional marriage. Activists in the state got their names off of financial disclosure forms, put everyone who donated for it on a searchable, walkable map, so that you could actually go home to home to target these people. And the people who ended up on that map, they had their cars keyed, their windows broken. They had flash mob protesters show up outside of their small businesses and block so that customers couldn't get in. They had threatening voicemail messages and email messages. Some of them even lost their jobs. The most famous of those is, of course, Brendan Eich, who was at Mozilla. But many, many other people besides lost their jobs. And this is what happens. Some of these activists, they go out, they're now using disclosure as a weapon, as a way of putting together lists of targets.
What is nice, though, Kimberly, is that in spite of these attacks, there are people who are standing up to them, withstanding them, and defeating them.
Yeah, and that was the really optimistic takeaway from the book, is that while the episodes described in it are terrible, absolutely terrible, most of the people stood up and they told their stories, and they did to some degree, or are managing to some degree, to get the bullies and intimidators to back down, because that is the only way you can fight this. And most Americans do still love our First Amendment, and something remembering, worth remembering on the 4th of July. I'd like a safe zone for free speech myself.
Yes, that would be a novel idea, and certainly what Kimberly does with the intimidation game. A lot of side notes to go along with it. You want to pay attention to a gentleman by the name, I use that term loosely, gentleman by the name of Bob Bauer. That's one name of note that you'll learn about in the intimidation game. And if you wonder why Target is taking the path they're doing with transgender bathrooms, there's also a little history lesson about a Minnesota governor's campaign and something that happened that might have been the catalyst for that whole situation. There's a lot more, and as I said in the introduction, you think about it going into it as, well, it's not about me, it won't be about me. When you get done with Kimberly's book, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech, you'll realize if it's not about me yet, it may be soon, and I need to stand strong and fight this intimidation. She is a member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board. You can find her work at WSJ.com. Has written the Potomac Watch column as well. Kimberly Strassel, thanks so much for empowering us people, and thanks for doing the book that you did and for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.